Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we want to thank you for all the blessings that you've laid upon us from getting up this morning to be here for praise and worship of your name, because it's all about you, God. It's not about us. Thank you for Cal and the others that were together that had a vision to start this church, to be a light out into this city, out into this county, and out into this world, that without you, none of this would be possible. Lord, be with those families and the storms that we had this week. Lord, a lot of them are in despair, and it's, why me, Lord? Why did you let this happen to me? God has a reason for it all. Lord, we want to thank you for all of our widows and widowers. They are such a blessing to this church and to you in this sound. Lord, we lift you up. Open our hearts, open our minds, that we will receive what you're wanting us to hear, Lord. In your holy and blessed name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. Give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. All glory belongs to Him. And we sang "To God Be the Glory," and that's what the title of the message is this morning. We are celebrating 5 years. 5 years as a church family today. 5 years ago, the Lord used many of you to help plant this church on Riverside Drive, and what a time it has been. The overall goal, of course, is always to advance God's kingdom in this place. And we are doing that primarily through reaching people for Christ and teaching people to follow Christ. And our strategy to accomplish the mission and the vision of this church is being done through prayer, worship, evangelism, or you could say missions, discipleship and fellowship, all of those things. And we're accomplishing what God has given us to do. And I look back over the last 5 years, and I'm just blown away at what all God's done. Can I give you some good news this morning? Some of you want bad news? Help us, Jesus. We have baptized 118 converts over the last 5 years. We've enlisted over 200 folks into the membership of this church. We're now averaging every Sunday over 300 in attendance at both campuses. We've given over $3.3 million in regular offerings. We've given over $300,000 to mission agencies. We've adopted 2 schools. We've replanted Kenwood Baptist Church. We've ministered to thousands of people in our community with food. Several of you have been a part of those food drives. Clothes, backpacks, fuel bags in our schools, Christmas toys. We support over a dozen ministries outside the church, like the Hope Pregnancy Center, the Gideons, Teen Challenge, Manna Cafe, Loaves and Fishes, over a dozen ministries in the city that we support. We have fed hundreds of APSU students. By the way, college kids are hungry. Woo, and they can eat. And we fed hundreds of them and faculty over at Austin Peay. We've provided appreciation meals for many of our Montgomery County school teachers and faculty, and we've provided appreciation dinners for law enforcement and first responders. I'm just amazed, and we've sent care packages all over the world to deployed soldiers. We've been involved in things as wild as laundromat ministry. And we've served our community through several what we call MOCO days, Second Mile Loves MOCO, Montgomery County. We've done several of those. And a lot of this has been done in the middle of a pandemic. All I really know to say this morning is, to God be the glory. Yes. Give Him great praise. Give Him hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Glory to His name. Now, you need a text anytime you preach a sermon. And so the text that God just laid on my heart that ties into what we're doing here this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. So I'm going to give you, let's see those Bibles up in here today. Now, let's see your Bible apps up in here today. All right, we've got a few of those. All right, let's stand. When you find Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, stand as we honor God's Word. Because I believe this verse, these two verses, express the praise that's on our hearts for all God has done and continues to do. Are you there? All right. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus unto all generations. How long? Forever and ever. Amen. Father, would You take Your holy and inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative Word and apply it to our hearts and lives this morning. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I am of the opinion that this is the greatest benediction to a prayer in all the Bible. You can argue with me, but, you know, you got the right to be wrong. So I believe verses 20 and 21 is the greatest benediction in the Bible. Now, the Apostle Paul here uses beautiful language and describes great truth as he describes the greatness and the glory of God. I want to tell you what, we're nothing without God. Nothing without Him. But with Him. Ooh, glory. As we continue to advance God's kingdom in this community, in this county, across this state, in this country, and all around the globe, there are some things that we need to give God glory for today. And there's several of them. Here's the first one. Look at verse 20 again. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the, what's that word? Power. Say power. Power. Look at your neighbor and say power. Power. All right. We've got this inexhaustible source of power. Second Mile has an inexhaustible source of power. I'm on point one, media gang. Second Mile has an inexhaustible source of power. Now, he begins this great benediction with, now unto Him who is able. Did you know God is able? Tell your neighbor, God's able. He can do anything. There isn't anything that God can't do. He's all powerful. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. He is able. I want to read some scripture to you, several verses of scripture to you that reveal how able God is. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17 says, if that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Who are we talking about there? He will deliver us from your hand, O King. So God is able to deliver us from fiery furnaces. Listen to what Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9 says. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9. Wow. For I say unto you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. How many of you know God can turn a stone into a live human being? He can turn, he can do anything. He is able. And then here's another great verse, John 10, 29. This is one of my favorites because it has to do with our security as a believer. John 10, 29. Where am I? Here we go. John 10, 29 says this. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the hand of my Father's hand. Hallelujah. And so your security lies in Him. You see, you're not saved because you're hanging on to Him. You're saved because He's hanging on to you. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory. Here's another able verse. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, there hath no temptation overtaken you, such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you're able to stand, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. Glory to God. God's able to take care of all of our temptations. And then second Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. I've got too many of these little green tabs in my Bible. All right, here we go. This is a great, great promise. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you've got what you need. Because he's able. Hallelujah. Here's another one. I like this one. Hebrews 7:25. How many of you know we got somebody in heaven praying for us? Listen to this. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for us. God is able to save anyone. He can deliver anyone from anywhere in any place. And then Jude 24, now unto Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Where is John Kochenauer? If you want to know that story, just ask John or Kenda. Now unto Him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. There is no one like our God. He is able to do whatever He gets ready to do. God is able. Now, it goes on to say He's able to do anything that we ask. He's able to do anything that we ask. Whew. What are you asking God for? Liz, y'all bless my heart today. Whatever we ask God for, He's able to deliver it. What are you asking God for? Do any of you need healing? Nobody, okay? Are you praying for a loved one to be saved? God's able to do that. Anything that we ask, He's able. Maybe it's a ministry that you're involved in. You're praying that God would bless that ministry. Maybe it's you need guidance. You got a big decision. You're asking God. He's able to provide that answer. Some of you need a job. Hey, ask God for a job. What are you asking God for? Whatever it is you're asking for, He's able to give it. And then He says He's not only able to do all that we ask, He's able to do all that we think. Just thinking about something, God can take care of that. And you know, sometimes I mentioned when we first planted this church, y'all may not remember this, but I said, you know what? If God can save Nineveh, he can save all of Clarksville. And you wouldn't believe some of the looks Wally I got in here. Is he crazy? Does he really think God's going to save all of Clarksville? I don't know if he's going to. I'm praying that he will, but he can if he gets ready to. God's able. And so sometimes we think these thoughts and we don't tell anybody because they'll think I'm crazy. Well, guess what? Open your mouth and go ahead and just let everybody know. Some of you have some unspoken thoughts, unspoken prayers maybe for happiness or holiness, or maybe you need love and contentment and fulfillment. Some of you have secret, just secret longings and yearnings in your heart, ambitions and dreams that only God could provide for. And so God's able to do anything. He's able to do everything that we're asking for. He's even able to do everything we're thinking about. He knows your thoughts. But the Scripture adds these words: exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Did you know God can go far beyond your requests? What you're asking, he can go far above what you're even thinking of. That's because God's such a great big God. He does bump into himself. He's so big. Well, let me put it like this. God is unlimited. He is infinite. We're limited and finite. Not God. He's all powerful. He's got all the knowledge. He's everywhere. He's not limited in any way. And you know what? I personally believe that God is blessed when we ask him to do something only he can do. You know why I think that blesses him when we ask for God-sized requests? You know why? Because guess who gets the credit for that? He does, because he's the only one who can do it. I've got some videos we want to play for you all. I wanted our people to preach this morning. And I've asked Will and Sarah Barnett to tape, to video something for me. And y'all may not know, Sarah was the one singing to our guests and visitors. And they were a part of our core group when we first got started. And they're charter members of this church. And so I want y'all to listen as Sarah and Will share how God has done much more than we asked or thought in planting Second Mile Church. Watch this.
Hey, Second Mile family. I'm Will, and this is my wife, Sarah Barnett. We were part of the core group of people that started Second Mile Church about 5 years ago.
We were two of about 20 folks that felt convicted by the Holy Spirit to meet at Callum Diana's living room over 5 years ago. And we gathered together and partnered under Cal's leadership and decided to plant a new church here in Clarksville, with the primary focus being reaching people for Christ and then teaching them to follow Christ. And at the time, we weren't sure how that was going to happen or where that was going to happen. But we knew that we knew that we knew that it needed to happen for our community. And so we started to pray for God's guidance and his leadership and to show us the way and to make the way for Second Mile Church. And man, did he answer our prayers far beyond anything we could have imagined. We needed a church. We needed a building to gather together. And 5 years later, he hasn't just given us one. He's given us two. We have our Riverside Drive campus and we have our Kenwood campus. And we needed a church body, and he gave us all of you wonderful people. We have some of the best church members that one could ask for. We have the most loving and serving church, and we're just so grateful for all of you guys sitting out there in the congregation. We needed teachers, and he provided some of the best Bible teachers you can have for any age group here at Second Mile Church. We needed outreach. And over these past 5 years, we've seen revival. We've seen that more than once. We've had it out on the river, in a boat out on the river. We've seen so many souls saved. We've seen so many people recommit their lives to Christ. We have local and international outreach ministries now. So many ministry teams. We needed children. And our first day, you know, half of the children were probably mine and Will's. And now our children's ministry has outgrown the space that God's given us, and he's making a way for more. And just blessings upon blessings upon blessings. The Lord has used us in ways we could never have predicted. Never did we think we'd have, over these past 5 years, did we think we'd be doing what we were doing.
No.
Never. Never, God. God made me a nurse and him a farmer. We didn't know we'd be such a big part of the children's ministry team, but it has brought us tremendous joy. It is truly a blessing to be part of this loving, serving, giving church family. We've experienced spiritual growth individually. We found our spiritual gifts. We've grown closer in our walks with God. And we don't tell you this to brag on us.
No.
All of the glory goes to God. He gets all of the credit for all of the things.
Yes.
Just some scripture verses we picked out. Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be poured into your lap. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good, lend, expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared ahead of time for us to do.
Sycamore family, all I ask for you to do is open your heart and be willing to do God's will. That's what we did, and we just strive to do that every day. And we pray that you will do the same. Just step up and step out. That's all I can tell you to do. And I'm going to leave you with Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God will give you the strength if you just ask for it.
And if you're willing, you have to be willing to serve.
We love you, Second Mile family, and we can't imagine anything without y'all. Thank you.
Glory to God. So how does God do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? How does he do all that? According to the power that works within us. We have this inexhaustible, incomprehensible power in us. Look at your neighbor and say, you got the power of God. And that word for power is really our word for energy. And it has to do with unequaled, unlimited power and energy. In other words, the same power that energizes the universe is the power we have working in us. Do we believe that? I may have told this story. That's a sign that you're getting older, that you tell the same story to the same people over and over again. But back a few years ago, I went out into the driveway to start my truck. And so I get in, put the key in the ignition, and turn it. And I mean, there was nothing. Nothing. No sound whatsoever. Didn't turn over. It didn't, nothing. And so I said, that's strange. And so I cut it off and then turned the ignition key again. Nothing. So I get out of the truck, pop the hood, and look at the battery. Battery cables are connected, and kind of cleaned them off a little bit. Then got back in the truck and put my key and then turned the ignition, and still nothing. No sound whatsoever. And then I pulled Diana's car up next to my truck and tried to jump it off. Stuck the key in the ignition, turned it, nothing. So I called our mechanic. And so he said, well, Cal, I just need to take this to the shop. So they pulled in a wrecker and took it to the shop. He calls me the next day, and he said, I've got your problem. I said, great, what's the matter? He said, well, there's a little bitty wire running from the engine up your steering wheel that connects to the ignition. And he said, somehow that thing's been cut in half. And so you're completely cut off from the power. Hello. Part of the problem, we got unlimited source of power in us. But what happens sometimes is we get disconnected from the power source through unbelief, unrepented, unconfessed sin, through prayerlessness, through a lot of other things. And Jesus said point blank, without me, you can do nothing. But he said, with me, all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. And so, according to the power that works in us, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I've asked another couple to share. And by the way, this couple is the newest members, are the newest members at Second Mile Church. Audra and Jim Langley, they're sitting right over here. And so I want you to listen as they share how they saw the power of God at work at Second Mile Church. Go ahead.
What a big day, y'all, to be celebrating 5 years at Second Mile. We first filled out that mile marker card as visitors in June last year. And Jim Henry and I have been regular attenders for 9 months now. And last Sunday, we made the decision to become committed members at Second Mile. And it does not take long for Cal to pick up the phone and call and put you to work, because here we are. When he had asked us to speak on what drew us to come and stay and eventually join church, I already knew. It was out of obedience. We've been in church our entire life, and we as a family knew we needed a change in our church involvement, and the Lord was telling us to get up and go from where we have sat for so long. We visited 8 churches in Clarksville last summer, and now here we are with you. As I talked with Cal earlier last week, when he called, he asked me the question and wanted me to share with you, how do I see the power of God at work in church? And I'll tell you what, friends, I see the power of God at work right here through his people. He's doing a work in you. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in us. Make no mistake, he is God alone, and he has filled us with his power through the Holy Spirit. Only in the power of God do we raise our hands on Sunday mornings and we praise him. Only in the power of God do we sing out every word in song with Andrew Christ on Sunday mornings. Only in the power of God do we take those steps down to the altar and we go down and we minister and comfort others. Only in the power of God every week do we go down on our knees and we pray and we talk to him at church and at home. I see the full power of God when Cal firmly delivers his God's living word and message to us. I think only in the power of God can we boldly recognize and acknowledge those hard truths and those challenging sermons he gives us that sometimes we don't want to hear. I know we are a praying, worshiping, giving church who serves one God. And as his children go down and we pray and we talk and we praise and we love the Lord, his power is immeasurable and his glory is endless. He's God Almighty. And I see his power right here in your face. And I feel it among us. And I feel it as we sit with you all and we fellowship and we become friends. And I'll say, I don't want you to forget how special you are, that our big, big God has filled you with his power through the Holy Spirit.
I just want to say, Alder and I are so thankful to the Lord that he had led us to come alongside y'all and join you and be on mission with you, however he leads Second Mile through the power of God.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so that's verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, how? According to the power that works in us. And so that's the inexhaustible source of power that we have. And then secondly, Second Mile has an inescapable supreme purpose. You understand what that purpose is? What is it? Verse 21. Check it out. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Our supreme purpose in this life is to glorify God. Hello? That's our purpose. That's why we're here. That's why God created it, created us. That's why He shares all this power with us, so we might glorify Him. God does everything for His glory. And so let me quickly give you three and we'll be done. Our lives should glorify Him personally, now unto Him. Doesn't say now unto Cal. Doesn't say now unto Adam. It doesn't say now unto Isaac. It says now unto Him. Now unto Him. And so our lives should glorify Him personally. Is God getting the glory from your life? Is He? Is He getting the glory for everything? Well, if He's not, you're engaging in idolatry. We're to glorify God with everything we've got and anything that we have. And secondly, our lives should glorify Him publicly. He says, glory where? In the church. You're talking about public glorification there. Glorifying God in the church. We should glorify, I think Audra mentioned it. We should glorify God in public worship. Can I just tell you? I see you all out here in public at the ball games. And I see you elsewhere. And I mean, y'all are nuts. I mean, about your team, you know? Well, I want to tell you, we ought to be nuts about Jesus. It's okay to worship Him publicly by giving Him glory and praise and honor. We should glorify Him in our fellowship gatherings, and we're going to do that here in just a few minutes. We're going to glorify God in our testimonies. Haven't the testimonies brought glory and honor to God today? Through our singing, our preaching, our teaching, our evangelistic efforts, everything we do should give God glory. Now, y'all heard me talk about Brother Shep. Well, him and old Zook Parker were really a team. And if you ever hung out with them during the day, about 25, 26, maybe 30 times, you would hear one of them say, well, praise the Lord, out in public. I can't tell you how many times I've heard Shep say, glory to God, hallelujah. We're to glorify God publicly, not just through our works, but through our words. How many of y'all have ever heard Betty Barnett say, praise Jesus? I love it when I hear that, sister, because it honors and glorifies God. And so what are you doing to bring God glory, not only personally, but publicly? And we're to glorify Him perpetually. That's what He's talking about there, to all generations. Now, I want to make something really clear. Yeah, we're after the younger generation here. We are. If the next generation doesn't get the gospel, man, this country's going downhill already. We have got to get the gospel to the young generation. That's what we're going to do. But I want to tell you, they're not our only target group. Everybody is our target group here at Second Mile Church. Even the older folks. Even people with blue hair. To all generations. All generations. Whoever you're sitting beside, take a good look at them. Now tell them, we're after you. Some of y'all wouldn't do what I asked if it was going to kill you. Anyways. I've asked one of our young people to share. This is the final testimony, and we'll be done. But I've asked one of our young people to stand up on a video to give testimony about how God's purpose of glorifying Him is being fulfilled in his life through Second Mile Church. Where's Casey? He's our bass guitar.
Hello, Second Mile Church. My name is Casey McCullough. I am part of the praise and worship team here. And I'm just going to share a little bit to you guys on how me and my family ended up here. So around 3 years ago or so, we were still living in Michigan at the time. We just got done planning a church there with a group of our old church friends. And after that church was planted, mom and dad took their finger on the map and said, this is where we're going. So we headed down here in Clarksville, Tennessee, down the south from up north, and our next door neighbors happened to be the Pennies. So Andrew Penny, the worship leader, introduced himself to our family, and once we got to chatting, he figured out that me and my little brother played the guitar, and then he said, all right, you guys are on the team. And so that's basically how we ended up here at Second Mile Church. And ever since, it's just been a huge blessing to me personally and my family. Everyone here is so kind and generous and loving and nonstop prayer warriors. So just that feeling of we got a church community that cares and prays for everyone is just super special. One way that I can personally use my talents and my gifts of the guitar, that's how I glorify God at Second Mile. Everybody has their own gifts, if that's acts of service, guitar, singing, just helping out in any way that they can. It's all glorifying to God. But me personally, that's how I do it, is play guitar every week and just express my love for the Lord in that sort of way. And yeah, that's just a little bit about myself and how I glorify the Lord at Second Mile Church.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you start thinking about bringing glory to God, just think about heaven right now. Heaven is a real place. And God the Father is in the throne room. His Son is at His right hand. And the Bible says there's cherubim, these great big angels that are surrounding the throne. And they're saying, holy, holy, holy. They're bringing glory to God. Creation brings glory to God. I mean, all you got to do is look up at night, in the evening, and the stars are twinkling and giving glory to God. Aren't you glad the sun came up to give God glory this morning? The flowers are blooming God's glory. The trees are waving in celebration of God's glory. The grass is blowing back and forth and growing. The trees are budding and giving God glory. And by the way, God's greatest creation is humanity, and we ought to glorify God with everything we've got. Hallelujah. By the way, the psalmist in Psalm 150 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The last word in the Hebrew hymn book in Psalm 150 is hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. I think the greatest way that we can bring glory to God is, first of all, by giving our life to Him. Man, Mike Rainey preached a fantastic Sunday school lesson this morning about making the most of your time. If God created you for His glory, and He did, how's that working for you? And by the way, to Him be glory where? In the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations. Forever and ever, amen. God gets glory when we serve Him in and through the local church. There's no such thing in your New Testament about a Lone Ranger Christian. Nothing about that. We need one another. God created us for one another so that we might, as a church family, glorify Him. And so if you have not given your life to Christ, there's no way you can bring honor and glory and praise to Him. But by the way, you will one day, because the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so if you're here today, man, we'd love to share with you how you can come to know Jesus Christ personally. And then you can begin to glorify Him in your life personally. Maybe some of you are here and you don't have a church home. Bless God, you need a church home. You need a church family. I'd love to talk to you about being your pastor. I don't know what y'all's needs are today, but let me just close with this. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church, to all generations, I should say by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to give you an opportunity to glorify God. Maybe you should have hit the altar earlier. Maybe there's a need in your life and you need for some godly people to pray over you. This is your time. This response, this invitation is for you. I'm so thankful God gave me an invitation many years ago. You know what? God has never disappointed me. He has always been there for me, and He'll be there for you. He loves you so much that He died for you so that you could be forgiven of all your sins. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And that's how He was able to pay for my sins. And the Bible says if we'll believe right here, not just up here, but right here, if we'll believe, you can receive what He did for you as the Son of God. And guess what? He's not dead. He's alive. And He'll come into your heart and life and He'll change you for His glory. Let's bow. We can pray together right now. Father, I lift up those that are in need today. I lift up those that need courage, that need to pray to receive Christ. Oh God, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed that You would not allow the evil one to distract us during this time. I believe there are folks sitting in these chairs right now that need to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Oh, their name may be on a church roll somewhere, maybe they've even been baptized, but their life has never truly been changed by the power of God. And I pray today that they might receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they need to come so we can lead them, get some stuff in their hands, Father, as they begin their new life. And there are others here that want to bring glory and honor to God in some other way. And so, Lord, this is Your time. This isn't my time. This is Your time. So speak, Lord. And give us the obedience, as we heard from our testimonies today. Give us the obedience to just say yes to whatever it is You want to do. In Jesus' name and for His sake. If you would quietly and reverently stand to your feet. Andrew's going to lead us. Take my life. Lead me, Lord. Just step out wherever you're sitting and come. We'll pray with you. Do whatever we got to do. You come right now.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.